got one. There we go. All right. Oh, right over your eye. All right. Oh, good. All right. Oh. Here. All right. I won't be able to put everybody's Band-Aids on right this very minute, but I will give you some in a little bit. So you guys all line up right here. All right. Very good. All right. I tried to give as many Band-Aids out as possible because, you know, when I was your age, you know what my mom and dad would tell me and we'd tell each other in school? Sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. Have any of you ever heard that? There's a few old souls here. All right. But what we were trying to say is, hey, you know, don't let what somebody else says to you hurt you. But the reality is words hurt a lot. In fact, I just ask everybody, you know, if you have ever been hurt by a mean word that somebody has said to you, please raise your hand. Whoa, there are a lot of wounded people out there, don't you think? Now, when you're hurt, maybe you have a cut or something, what does your mom or dad do? They put a Band-Aid on. So, what I want you to do is I'm going to give each one of you, I don't have Band-Aids on all of you, so I'm going to give enough of Band-Aids so your moms and dads can put the Band-Aids on. But there are lots of wounded people out here too. So I'm going to give you more, you know, each one of you about 3 or 4 Band-Aids. And if you could give those Band-Aids out to the people around you, just and if you guys could actually wear those bandages, you can put them on your forehead if you want, or on your hand, or on your finger if you'd like, just as a great reminder that, you know, every one of us is wounded in some way. All right, so you're going to help me. That is exactly what. Yeah. So, give out about 2 or 3 to every child, and then we'll get started here. So, Jim, could you help me as well? Thank you. All right. There's more there. Now remember, if you don't have one, put one on yourself. And if you, oh my, we're going through them, so all right. Okay. Now, in just a minute, we're going to read, I'm going to read a Bible lesson that talks about somebody who has been beaten up. And everybody is going to be wearing Band-Aids out here to remind us that we've all been beaten up in some way, especially by mean things that people have said. So you guys have been great. Now go out and give away your bandages. Is it okay? Can you do that? And thank you for my assistance up here. Yeah. Okay. Well, you don't have to put them. Oh, you can just give a bandage away. You don't have to put them on to everybody. So, while they're doing that, I would invite you to turn with me to Luke. Oh, wouldn't you know it? Next slide, please. Oops, now it works. All right, Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. If you have a Bible, great. If you don't, maybe open up your Bible app. This is the parable of the Good Samaritan, and I think it's really helpful as we hear about this guy who was beaten, to remember that we've all been beaten up in some way, and we can appreciate this story more if we see ourselves in the picture in that way. So that's why I want us to all be wearing bandages, okay? So Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, when he saw him, pass by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put on the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii. A denarius was about a day's wage. So whatever you make in a day, multiply it by 2. That's how much money this Samaritan gave to the innkeeper. He gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Then Jesus asks, "Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." I appreciate this whole idea of we are all beaten and bruised, just like that man in the parable. We've all experienced mean things, mean words spoken to us. Maybe you have experienced incredibly harmful things that happened to you. You all raised your hand. You are all wounded. You've been there. And it's when we are in that position that we are prepared to see the wounded, those who are beaten and bruised around us. We have experienced it, and we want to see how others have experienced it too. In fact, one of the things that surprised me, when you read through a lesson umpteen times, it's surprising that you see something new. And I don't know how many times I've read the parable of the Good Samaritan. And this week, I realized there are 3 times where it says, "He saw him." The Levite says, about the priest, it says, "He saw him." About the Levite saw him. He saw this man who was beaten and bruised and left for half dead. And then the Samaritan saw him. He saw this man who was beaten. And my question for us is, do we see the people who are bruised and beaten around us? Last week, I knew I was going to be preaching on this lesson, and I opened up the newspaper in the afternoon and was surprised that there were 3 different articles about people who were bruised and beaten. I want to share 2 of them with you. On page 2 was Jussie Smollett. Jussie is an actor, and he was in the paper because in Chicago he was beaten up, left with a noose around his neck because he was black and gay. He was literally beaten and bruised. And we read about these kind of things and say, this should not happen. But then in that same section, section A, I think it was page 17, was can't remember the guy's name now off the top of my head. It's been a long morning. Be patient with me. Oh, yeah, Chris Stroop. Chris is a scholar. He graduated with a PhD from Stanford. He is a professor at the University of Southern Florida, and he is a product of Christian schools from kindergarten through 12th grade. Chris is also queer. Now, I don't mean that in a derogatory way. Queer is a word that the LGBTQ community has reclaimed. It was used for so many years as a derogatory term, and they just reclaimed it and said, we're going to use this and wear this term proudly. A queer is somebody who says, I reject the whole concept of heterosexual, homosexual, or bisexual. And Chris made the paper because he started a firestorm on Twitter with the hashtag #ExposeChristianSchools. Because as he grew up in Christian schools, he was beaten and bruised by what was said to him in the very place where we would expect love to be shown. He was beaten and bruised. And so he wants to expose Christian schools as a place that is not safe for people who are different. And I'll talk about that different in just a second. And then on the way out of church, out of the bridge today, you'll each receive a copy of a book by a book called Gay and God by I didn't have enough snacks. Mike Novotny, thank you so much. Need more sugar, more coffee. It's been a you can guess that this has been a message that I've been thinking about and praying about, and there's some pressure on me. Because I want to say things right. I don't want to make things worse. But Mike wrote this book, Gay and God. He is the new speaker for our TV ministry called Time of Grace. And in this book, part of his preparation is he was talking with a gay pastor, and something that gay pastor said to Mike just breaks my heart. He said, Mike, for most gay people, the church is public enemy number one. We're appalled when we hear about somebody like Jussie Smollett being beaten and bruised in Chicago. I hope we are equally appalled when people who are different than us are beaten and bruised in our own midst. Now, let's go back to that account. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, an expert in the law comes to test Jesus, and he asks, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus asks, well, what does the law say? How do you read it? And the expert in the law responds very well. He responds in the very same way that Jesus will respond later on when somebody asks Jesus, what's the sum of the whole law? The expert in the law says, love God and love your neighbor. But then the expert in the law has a question, but who is my neighbor? And he has a good reason to ask. What he was doing is he was quoting from Leviticus chapter 19, where it says, do not judge or do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. So among your people. So is this command to love your neighbor as yourself really a command to love your kind of people? Is that really what God is commanding? And then Jesus tells this story of the Good Samaritan. there's this guy who's beaten, left for half dead. A church guy comes walking by, a priest. He sees the man who is beaten and bruised, right? He sees the need. But he's afraid to take the risk. You know, I don't blame this guy for not stopping. It's the same reason that you and I might drive by when we see a hitchhiker or somebody stopped along the side of the road. We are afraid what might happen. This guy had a good reason to be afraid. I mean, who knows? Maybe the guys who beat up this first fellow, they were still around, and maybe this was just a trap. And if he slowed down a little bit to take care of him, that then he would be jumped. And so the priest goes by on the other side. He's afraid to take the risk. And then the other church guy, the Levite, comes by, and he also sees this man, but he is also afraid to take the risk. The smart thing to do is to ignore the problem. Let's hurry on by and hope that it doesn't really affect us. That person who was beaten up, that was your kind of people, Levite and priest. But then the Samaritan comes. Now, if you're familiar with the Gospels, you know that there was bad blood between Samaritans and Jews. There was racial tension back then. And the Jews were infamous for having nothing to do with Samaritans. So the Samaritan walks by and he sees this guy who's beaten and bruised. But he doesn't see that he just see that he's beaten and bruised. What does the Samaritan also see? The Samaritan also sees that this guy is the enemy, right? He is not one of us. He's not your kind of people. But the Samaritan doesn't care. The Samaritan was willing to take the risk, not only the risk of crossing that cultural divide to deal with somebody different than him, but also he was willing to take the risk of maybe he is going to be beaten up because he is slowing down in his progress down to Jericho. He's willing to take the risk. He is willing to bear the cost, isn't he? He's willing to pay 2 days' wages, and he promises, you know what, if you need anything more, I'm going to come back through here, and I'll make it right. He saw the person who was different. He took the risk, and he was willing to pay the cost. And then Jesus says to that expert in the law, go and do likewise. Now, what was Jesus' purpose? Go and do likewise. Was he Jesus trying to tell this person, you know what, if you just try harder, you'll love people enough? Was he trying to squeeze some more love out of this expert in the law? No, the first purpose of any law passage, and this is certainly a law passage, go and do likewise. The first purpose of any law passage is so that it reflects back to us our own sin. Go and do likewise. The harder that I try to love the person who is different than I am, the more that I see that I will fail. Go and do likewise. The sin will be reflected back to me. You know, I gained a new appreciation of this past week. In our ministerial team meeting, somebody mentioned the Harvard Prejudice Test. You can Google just those words, Harvard Prejudice Test. It's actually the implicit project put on by Harvard and a lot of other universities. You can take these tests. There's 14 different tests to measure how prejudiced you are. And I've taken enough of these prejudice tests now that I feel very comfortable letting you know that there is one group of people that I show absolutely no prejudice against. White heterosexual males about 60 years old who are lousy at sports, can't play a musical instrument, but do read Greek every day. You know? I click with those kind of people. Now we can laugh about it. But every one of us has to admit there is a seed that was given to us from Adam and Eve, that sinful nature within us, that we see people who are different than us, and there is an immediate judgment. We may be moderately prejudiced, severely prejudiced, but there is an immediate judgment. That's part of the sinful nature within us. I so much appreciate the honesty of Mike Novotny when he just admits, you know, I have said things that I didn't think through, that I have showed my prejudice and failed to see my own sin as I've judged other people. And that's true of all of us. And that's why I so much appreciate knowing the Good Samaritan. You see, the Good Samaritan in this parable of the Good Samaritan is not just a character in the story, but it's really a personification of the Savior, isn't it? Because who is the only person that you know who has loved his neighbors as himself? That's your Savior. Think of how Jesus fulfilled that role of the Good Samaritan. He saw the person who was different than him. Boy, you and I are different than Jesus. Jesus is the one who came to glorify God's name. And you and I, well, we're the ones who have a hard time not using that name in vain. If not, it comes out of our mouths. Very often it's in the back of our heads. We're different than this Good Samaritan. Jesus is the one who said, Lord, I've come to do your will even if it costs my life. And of course, we're the ones who say, Lord, I'm willing to do your will as long as it's easy, but if there's something better that comes along and it's going to be more fun, don't be surprised if I choose that instead. You know, you and I, we are different than our Savior. And so He sees that we're different. And he's willing to take the risk. You know, it's interesting that the same wilderness that is from Jerusalem down to Jericho, that's the Judean wilderness. That's the same wilderness where Jesus went out to be tempted by Satan. Jesus was willing to go out and be tempted in every way, just as we are. He was willing to subject himself to the true enemy who has left us beaten and bruised and half dead. If you believe that there is Jesus, then believe also that there is this real devil and his evil angels who has bruised and beaten you, has led you into sin, and then kicks you when you're down. And Jesus is the one who was saying, I'm willing to take the risk to be beaten up by him. I'm willing to take the risk. I'm willing to bear the cost. You know, Mike Novotny in near the end of his book, he talks about the rainbow that is a symbol for the LGBTQ community. And The rainbow. It's called a rainbow because it looks like a bow and arrow bow. Which direction does the rainbow face? The rainbow faces up, doesn't it? You know, the bow was aimed toward heaven. You see, Jesus was willing to pay the cost, too. The cost would be his own death on the cross. You and I have experienced the love, the undeserved love of the Good Shepherd. And now he says to us, go and do likewise. Now, he's not saying this to try to squeeze more love out of us. He's saying, you have experienced the love of the Good Shepherd. You have experienced this unconditional love. And when you and I experience that kind of unconditional love, he creates in us a desire to show that unconditional love as well. Now, in this message series, we're going to talk about passages that deal with heterosexual matters and homosexual matters. We are not going to ignore the passages. I'm absolutely convinced that the God who created this world, who designed this world, knows how to give us true joy. He's given us the commandments not to limit us, but to so that we can have life to the full. But before you and I can share any truth in love, we have to show love. Go and do love likewise. Do you suppose that our community here, the Bridge, those of you online, do you suppose that we would be a community where if a gay couple moves into our neighborhood, that we're the first ones to invite them to come on over and have dinner with us? Do you suppose that we could be a community where if someone comes out, that we are the first family member, the first friend who says, I love you? Not, I still love you, like, well, you really don't deserve this love, but I'm going to give it to you. No, I love you. Because we have a God who loved us unconditionally. God loved the world. God loves this person. Can we be that place where we just say in our schools to our classmates, there's not going to be any bullying here. We are not going to put up with people being picked on because they are different, no matter what the reason. Could we be a community where people know that if there's somebody different than us, including sexual orientation, if there's somebody different from us and they come to work, that we make sure that they know that they are welcome here? Could we be that kind of community? Mike, for most gay people, the church is public enemy number one. Man, that's hard to hear, isn't it? A number of years ago, I went to Israel and I saw the Yad Vashem Museum. It was a powerful experience to see this museum to the Holocaust there in Jerusalem. 6 million Jews slaughtered. And right after that, we went to Ein Karem. It's a little village right outside of Jerusalem. It's the traditional spot of John the Baptist's birth. John the Baptist, who called people to repentance and said, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And I sat there in that little chapel off the main sanctuary, and we gathered around, and we're going to have a devotion. And I saw my Jewish friend, our tour guide. And I just thought, and I asked the group, you know, how many years of unconditional love from the Christian community, how many decades, how many centuries of unconditional love from the Christian community will let the Jewish community know that we love them after they've experienced that? And I think the same is true. As we take on this issue, we want to speak the truth in love. And perhaps the day will come when you have that chance. But first, for the truth to be heard, we have the call. Go and do thou likewise. Jesus didn't love us when we changed. He loved us just the way we were. He was willing to take the risk to accept the cost, to love us. Go and do thou likewise. Unconditional love. That's our call. Let's pray. Please stand. Lord, there is so much division in our society today. And sadly, we as Christians are a big part of that. Lord, we don't want to diminish your truth. We want to hold on to your truth, but we struggle to love. Lord, where we recognize that we have beaten and bruised people by what we have said or the way we've looked at them, as we have opportunity, Lord, give us the courage to apologize. And change us, Lord. That the kind of unconditional love you've given us, that we give that to the people around us. And Lord, we are part of a larger community than just the Bridge or just the Muskego area. We're part of the Milwaukee area. And Lord, you know that right now our entire Milwaukee area is grieving. Another officer, Matthew Rittner, lost his life. And then right after that, a public works employee, Brian Rodriguez, loses his life. We join with our Milwaukee community and grieve. And we ask that you would comfort those who have lost their dear loved ones. And we'd ask that you would protect everyone who puts their life on the line for us, who serves us in so many different ways. In so many ways, they are examples to us of the Good Samaritan. Lord, bless them and protect them as they carry out their duties. And Lord, help us to love unconditionally as you have loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.